Oh, I was going to let her come in here. Come here and share what you shared with me before you go over there about praying. Share with the people. I thought that really good. This encouraged you. Praise the Lord.
I was just telling Pastor in the store, I was talking to Mom about it earlier, that I've been getting up just a little bit earlier, and I had decided I was going to set my timer on my watch and pray in the Spirit for about 10 minutes. And I think I've done it more than 10 minutes, maybe one morning. And it's hard to describe to you the difference that it makes in the course of a day. And I said it to Andrew, and Andrew's like, duh. I was like, well, I mean, I have heard that my whole life, you know, but I can honestly say I don't think I've ever done it. And so, and I've been doing it, you know, every morning, and the things that I think of and will say out of my mouth will surprise me. Like, gosh, I didn't know I was that smart. How did I know to say that? But I would rather do that than get up and eat breakfast, and that says a lot coming from me. It's more beneficial than breakfast, for sure.
Praise the Lord. Yes. And 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes will lead to 15 minutes because it builds a hunger in you and a desire. You know, we say this all the time to people, but people hear that. But Jesus had the same problem, that people wasn't doers of the word. The word of God, preaching stuff, don't do you a bit of good if you're here. Jesus said they're hearers only. They don't do anything. And you'd be surprised how many people come to this church, I don't want you to raise your hand or nothing, that don't do anything with what's preached. Probably tithing, some of them. And you'd be surprised people's come here years and don't even tithe regular. What's Jesus supposed to do with that? And praying in tongues will revolutionize your life. It brings rest. It brings peace. It edifies. It causes, like she said, wisdom during the day to come out of you. You'll say things. See, you don't know what's in you. It stirs up the gift that you have. And when Jesus said, could not you pray with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Well, we can't. And it just, it causes you to have joy. You'd be surprised how you can love people. Your faith works. Amen? Yeah. It's a supernatural thing given to the church. It's only for the church. It happened on the day of Pentecost. And we'd do that, like Aaron said, 10 minutes. And she couldn't believe what it's done for her day. It'll do that for you. You can do that on the way to work. Get in the car, just start. Say, well, I'm sleepy. Your head's sleepy. Your spirit's not. Just pray 5 minutes. Next thing you know, wow, I like this. Amen? I'll go down the road sometime to raise my hand. People throw up their hand at me. I don't know. Praying or, you know, singing. Hallelujah. See, you can pray like that, just sitting around. You know, I pray out loud, pray in tongues. You just pray softly, whatever. You said, watch TV and do that. So I watch TV sometimes, don't even know what they're doing a lot of times. I sit in there, you know? Praise the Lord. Well, look in 1 Peter with me. I dare you to try it. You'd be surprised. God makes things work. The Holy Spirit makes it work for you. Holy Spirit gets it for you. He intercedes, like we've said on Tuesday night. He intercedes for you. He prays for you because you need it. You need help. You may not know it, but you'll need help. Praise the Lord. And life is full, and you have something to do. It just edifies you. Amen. 1 Peter, we'll look in chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Well, you could stop right there and we could meditate on that for a while and go home and realize that if Peter said that, then it was... end of all things was at hand when he is alive. You can imagine where we're at. The end of all things is at hand. Now, the Lord had revealed to Peter, if you read his epistles, that his time was short. For Peter said, the Lord has revealed to him that he is going to depart from this tent. Told him his time's short, so get ready, Peter, you're about to die. He knew that. The Lord told him that. And so, the last letter of an apostle that's about to leave the earth. He wrote to the church to tell us. Remember when... he denied Jesus 3 times. Then Jesus told him before that, he said, Peter, Satan has a desire to sift you as wheat. But he said, I have prayed for you. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Well, how many of us might be go through that? We might go through that. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit will pray for you, pray through you if you'll pray in tongues. He'll pray for you because he knows whether or not the sifting is coming. He knows whether or not a trial is coming. He knows whether or not what's going to happen. And so he'll pray for you that you'll go through that. You could avoid a lot of stuff just by spending time praying in tongues. And he said, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. Now, he didn't say that I've prayed that you don't fail. Because you're already a failure, Peter. But I prayed that your faith won't fail you. Because what Peter needed when he was being sifted was to be strong in faith and to go through that thing. You can't go through it on your own. You can't go through it by yourself. You have to have faith. And Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. You won't give up. You'll stay strong in faith. And he made it, didn't he? He came through it. And Jesus told him something. He said, now, Peter, when you go through it, when it's over, he said, you encourage the saints. You edify the saints then. You encourage them for what you've been through. And so, Peter's encouragement to the saints, or his edifying to the saints, or his admonishing the saints, or whatever, is 1 and 2 Peter. It's important to read that. He wrote it to you, to the church. He wrote it to the saints, to the Christians. He wrote it for that day, but for every Christian or every saint that would come after. And that's us. The Bible is written to us. It's not written to sinners. There's nothing in the Bible for sinners except get saved. The gospel of salvation and is for the sinner. That's all. I was reading the other day about in Proverbs chapter 6, six things the Lord hates, even seven to abominate. You know that was written to Christians? Six things the Lord hates for Christians to do? Sinners already doing that. I mean, they're already do stuff like that. But he admonishes us not to do these things. And six of them was of the heart. Amen? So in discord among the brethren, he hates that with a passion. Well, wasn't a one of them in there about adultery? Now, that's a big one for the church. They'll hang you on the, tack your hide on the wall of the church. But people can sow discord among the brethren, tear a church up and go from place to place, gossiping, backbiting, and they think that's okay. The Lord hates that. Amen. Shedding innocent blood. Amen. So Peter was dying. And so he wrote to us. And he said, the end of all things is at hand. Wow. Now, Jesus wrote some things about the end times. And let's see, 13th chapter of Mark, I think, let's see if that's a good place. May not be. Might be somewhere else. Thirteenth chapter of Mark. See, I just thought of that. Jesus. This is the same thing Mark wrote about, what Matthew wrote about in Matthew 24, you remember? In verse 1, then he went out of the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? There's marveling at the church. See what a nice church we have. And Jesus answered and said, Do you see these great buildings? No one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Some of those stones weighed how many tons? 50 tons or something? 10 tons? 50? The stones of that temple, they're massive. The Western Wall or the Wailing Wall that they go pray at, that's part of that temple. That's all left of it. The stones in that temple were massive, and they were high. And how could anybody or anything throw those stones down? I mean, that was impossible, but somehow or another, the Romans did it. And Jesus said, not one of them will be left on another. All of them will be thrown down. Who could believe that? Standing there in front of that massive temple, so beautiful, and say something like that. That's why the scribes and Pharisees got him and said, this man says that you could destroy this temple in 3 days he'd rebuild it. Jesus was talking about his body, and they thought he was talking about the church. And they said, he's crazy. No man can do that. Well, they probably thought he was crazy there, saying, nobody can tear this place down. How can anyone tear this down? But he was right. 70 A.D., not long after he came back out of the grave and went home, the Romans come, Titus did, tore it down, just like he said. Burn it all up. Never been back. Now, as you said on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when all these things will be and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled. And Jesus said to them, as he began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, I was reading this over in Peter here this afternoon. I got to thinking of all the instructions for us in the last day. We have no instruction whatsoever on what to do with our money, where to invest it, how to save it, how to survive financially. Not one scripture. There's not one scripture to tell us whether or not we should buy food, how much food to put up, where to put it, or to prepare physically in any sense of the matter of the last days. There's no scripture. There's no instruction. Jesus, Paul, Peter, all of them instructed us about the last days, and none of them instructed us in the things we want to be instructed in. What do we do financially? Bad times is coming. Hard times are coming. What do we do financially? What do we do physically? What are we going to do for food? Well, I guess he figured we'd have common sense. It's common sense, even with the storms like the hurricane or whatever, to have enough food on hand in case you can't go to the grocery store. That's common sense. Common sense is to have some cash on hand. Common sense, have some gas and some cans. Common sense, it have some things that would last us a while. We should do that. We did it growing up. We was prepared. We went through the whole winter and didn't have to go to the store. People nowadays don't eat supper without going to the store. Today and tomorrow night, they go to the store again. Or what are we going to do for dinner? Well, where do you want to go eat? Or I'll run to the store and get something. Wow. Well, if the store don't open, I guess Jesus thought we'd have common sense. Not very common anymore. Is it? People don't know how. We've lost our way somehow or another. We need to have survival inside of us. We need to know how to survive difficult times. We should know how to be prepared for what's coming. We should know that. Not being greedy or stingy or all that, you won't make it anyhow. That spirit won't work. But they did instruct us in some things. But it's amazing how they instruct us what to be prepared for and about ourselves in the last days. And probably, I don't know how many we do this. But he said, notice what Jesus said. And they asked him, said, now these things are going to happen. Tell us when and what's going to happen and what we should do. And the questions that we would probably ask. And Jesus said, take heed to yourself. Watch yourself that you're not deceived. Well, I'm not worrying about that, Lord. I'm worrying about eating. You might be deceived. I'm worried about money, Lord. Well, you might be deceived already. Are you out there? Natural things he didn't speak about where we're concerned. Spoke about our spiritual condition and things that we needed to prepare ourselves for. Peter said, the end of all things are at hand. They're upon you. And they are. I preached last Friday, wasn't it, about the land getting sick. And you'll see it more and more as it grows up. It goes through birth pains and it groans and it revolts against what's happening to it. The land will. God sits in the heavens. And he said, you'll reap what you sow. We're in the time of grace. We're not under God's judgment. That's to come. We will face the judgment of God. But not now. He's not judging us. We're under grace. Well, if we're under grace, why do these things happen? Because the land's sick. Because we'll reap what we sow. We cause these things to come upon us. He told the children of Israel, now if you'll stay close to me and worship me and do what I say, you'll be blessed every day. It'll rain on your crops and the land will bring forth and you'll be a blessed people. But now if you get out from under my protection and go and do these other things, all these things will come upon you and overtake you. Well, that's a given. God just sits back and says, you choose this day. You choose. Your choice. I set before you life and death. Choose. Choose, America. Life or death. Choose. So it's our choice. And these things happen to us, and destruction comes on our land. Judgment comes. It's because of what we've done, because of what we're doing to the land. Now, all these Democrats are running for presidency. They've got a new religion. It's called Save the Earth. You know, it's called a global warming. They said, the United Nations said, oh my God, the United Nations has spoken. We must heed their voice. They said within 10 years, the world will be gone. You're dumb as a, how can it, global warming, we have to. Hurry up, Bernie Sanders said. We have to hurry up and save the planet. We have to turn out all the lights and quit burning gas. Quit doing everything. Because if we don't, we're not going to save the earth. Believe a lie and be damned. That's a lie. That's not even true. But it's their religion. It's their God. That's all they talk about. And they believe that. They really believe it. And so they think they're on a mandate to save the earth. They have to save the earth. And so what they'll do is put us into depression. They'll cause us to go broke. They'll cause America to fail because in their desire to save the planet, they'll destroy the planet. You're not going to destroy the planet. The earth's the Lord's. You can burn it off and it'll grow back. The earth can shake and do all kind of things. The earth will come back. You're not going to destroy the earth. Forget it. It'll take care of itself. You'll destroy yourself, you dummies. They don't put God into any of it. Don't believe God about anything. Satan come and sold them a lie. So when these things come that God said would come, they say it's global warming. It's not God. Forget that Bible stuff. It's global warming. No, it's Bible warning. What it is. But they don't believe that. So, but it's a matter of time till they get elected. It's just a matter of time. And they have gone so far off the deep end ever since they voted God off their platform and ran God out of their organization, he left them. And Romans 1 says he gave them over. You gave God up. He said, you give me up, I'll give you up. They gave him up. When they knew God as God, they did not worship God as God, but they rather would worship the creation rather than the Creator. And so, what are they talking about? Saving the earth, saving the creation, saving the planet, the creation. We have to save it. We worship the creation. And God gave them up to a reprobate mind. And you watch it. They don't make any good decisions. They don't even talk with any sense. It don't make sense. They're confused because God gave them up. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean everybody that it's a Democrat or whatever, God gave them up. And God's turning. No. That's not what that means. That means the one who governs them to make policy and all that, their hierarchy. You understand? So don't follow something that's going down the wrong path. And so that's man. So we have to be careful. So Jesus said, take heed to yourself. First, that you don't be deceived. Just watch yourself. For many will come in my name. But when they hear of wars, notice he said there'd be wars, rumors of war. Don't be troubled. All this stuff will happen. For race will rise against race. Kingdom, nations against nations. There will be earthquakes, famine, and trouble. And these are just the beginning of birth pains, of sorrows on the earth. But watch out for yourself. Wow. Verse 11. But when they arrest you and deliver you, don't worry about beforehand or meditate on what you'll speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what you need to do when you stand up and you need to speak, no matter where you're at. Don't think about what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. He will. Depend on Him. Amen. Now, brother, verse 12. Brother will betray brother to death. Father his children, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Wow, are we seeing that? And you will be hated. Starting to be more and more. It's all over the world, but now it's come to America. We're Christians. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. Now, he's talking there about the Jews, but it's coming to Christians also. But you endure. Now, that's good enough. There, what Jesus said. Now let's look over what Paul said in 1 Timothy. Now, Jesus didn't tell us about getting food or what we're going to do with our money or everything. He just told us some things that's going to happen on the earth. And he told us, now you just take heed to yourself. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, what was coming on the earth, or 4, chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Now the Holy Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what that means? Conscience seared with a hot iron? You ever got a callus on your hand? You know, I've still got some from a long time where I worked a long time ago. I still got calluses on my hands. You know, where you got a callus, it gets hard, there's no feeling. You can stick a pin in it, do whatever, you can pinch it, take a knife, cut it off. I've done that before. Take knives and whack them off. You have to be careful not to cut too deep. It has no feeling. It's calloused. That's what that means. And you know what caused that callous? Just a continuous rubbing. Continuous doing something. That's like the lies the news media says, or government or politicians. You hear something long enough, and, or do it, you can do something long enough. After a while, you just get callous to it. It doesn't bother you. You lose the sensitivity of your heart. You don't have a tender heart anymore. You become numb. And that's what he's saying. People's conscience will be seared like with a hot iron. Or you burn yourself and make a callous there. There's no feeling. It doesn't bother you. That's why you can talk about a homosexual. You can talk about these, talk about that. But by the grace of God, you'd have been there. You say, oh, no. Listen, when you start down a path, you have to keep doing things because it gets old to you, you know. And you just keep going and going and going. Who knows where you'd have wound up? Don't ever say you wouldn't have been. So you got to have grace and mercy on these people. Because by the grace of God, you're no better. Only thing different than us, we just got born again and jerked out of the mud before all things went wrong, you know. Conscience seared with like a hot iron. You callous to things. It doesn't bother you anymore. Forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from certain foods. Well, we see that. And created to receive thanks. You can eat anything you want to. Amen. Now look over 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know these scriptures well. But I want you to see, don't tell us about our money or food or what we do or what I do, Lord. It just tells you what's going to happen. He just warns us about what's to come in these last days. He leaves it up to us. Now, Jesus said, take heed to yourself. I could have read you on over in 13. He said, be careful to where you don't be drunk. Now, you can be talking about wine, but where your mind gets so confused with life that you can't hear from God. Don't get caught up in the cares of this world, he said. Don't get caught up in this life because your mind will get drunk and you can't hear God and you'll get confused in these doctrines of devils and you'll be deceived and you'll depart from the faith. And he's warning us against these. He leaves it up to us what you're going to do about it. God tells us, he warns us, and he puts some scripture in there and he said, now, these things are coming. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. God doesn't. He's not going to make you go to church. He's not going to make you read the Bible. He's not going to make you pray in tongues. He's not going to make you tithe. He's not going to make you love each other. He's not going to make you do anything. He just warns you and tells you. And he said, your choice. Now, if you want to survive these days that's coming, he said, this is what's coming. That's a guarantee. And they're all around us now. And he said, if you're not careful, you can be easily deceived in that hour. And if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit and going to a strong church where they preach the word and warn you about these things and talk to you about your spiritual condition, you will drift away. You say, well, I'm not going to drift away. I go to church every Sunday. Honey, I look at faces on Sunday mornings that's drifted away. Their bodies here only. I guarantee, I don't even know the last time they picked up a Bible. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you out of my spirit. I'm talking to you out of my overflow. That's my experience. That don't have nothing to do with you. You could be dead as last year's bird nest. Not have nothing in it. Not going to help you a bit. Well, you know, that's pretty good preaching. Well, you had a good nap. You know, I know people come here every week to take a nap. They just sleep. You be real quiet, I'll let you I'll just do like this when somebody goes to sleep and you just come up here and watch everybody. Like I do. And I'll say, shh, just be real quiet. Amen. It's exciting. That's why I look at some of your faces. And I know who to look at when I'm preaching. Because if I looked at others, I'd get discouraged. And I'm just going out the door. They won't know I'm gone. In the last day, hard times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now, we read that, sometimes we think that's having a form of going to church or a form of religion. No, it says they have a form of them being godly. They act like they're godly, but they're not. It's a form of godliness. Godliness means that's you. But just have a form. They act like they're godly. That's the same thing as the Pharisees. Jesus said, you're out this, but your heart's not in it. You act one way, but you're another way. You judge about people but on things, but you don't want to be judged on nothing. Amen? Well, we all at some time or other be religious. You know, religious means we can, you know, act like a Pharisee sometime. But thank God we repent and go on. That's just being religious. But that's not meaning that we're a full-blown Pharisee. Having a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God in their life that helps them. Amen? Now then, from this sort, turn away from those who creep into households and make captive gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. That's the two men. Remember when Moses threw down his rod and it became a snake and they made a snake? No, that's those guys. They stood against the power of God. He said there will be those who do that in the last day. So do these also resist the truth? Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you be careful. You be careful. Following my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, which happened to me. You follow me, Paul said. Don't you be caught up. Always look. If you look now, I used to say this all the time, people laugh at me. When you see all these women, like that one girl, you know, from New York, that's making all this. What's her name? Alexander or whatever. That's silly women. That's what the Bible says. There's a whole movement of silly women that the enemy, a whole movement out there. Women's lib, all that. Silly women, a movement against the things of God. Creep into households, make gullible, silly women. And we see that everywhere. Amen? Well, I look back over 1 Peter, we'll go back where it started. Notice what Peter says now. But the end of all things are at hand. Therefore, be serious. Now he's telling us what to do in these last days. 1 Peter, where was that? 4:7. The end of all things are at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer. And he tells you what to do to make it. Be serious. If I just, you know, get people to be serious. And above all things, now notice what Peter says about how to survive the last day. Of all the things, some guy, preachers out there saying, you know, hide food. Dig a hole and fill it up with food. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having food. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you want to do that, because you're going to have to eat. I don't know. Hard times are coming. Some people say, buy gold. Well, if things are rough, what are you going to do with gold? That's only good when the economy's good. If the bottom drops out, the gold's going to plummet. That's good, you know. Back in the Depression, it wouldn't matter if you had a sack full. You couldn't buy nothing. Wasn't anything. Give you a little ticket, you could buy so much this, so much that. Had rations on everything. So what are you going to do with it? Well, if times get hard and you got a whole bunch of seed and you plant them, they'll come up. I've heard people say you have to get seeds, put seeds up, because it'd be hard to get seeds, and seeds are being something wrong with the seeds and the seed. Well, if you plant them, they don't come up. What are you going to do with a sack full of seed? If the land's, you understand? Only one way you make it. And Jesus said, Paul said, Peter said, and all of them said, it's that keeping yourself close to God, keeping your faith strong. God has a reputation of taking good care of His people. He has a good reputation of that. And I'm sure He'll tell me if I need to get food, whatever it is, in time or health, whatever. I'm sure of that. But if we're in a position, in a situation where we are taking heed to ourselves, keeping ourselves strong in God, strong in church, strong in the Word, strong in the Holy Spirit, where He can lead us. That's the key. Where you can hear His voice and where He can instruct you on what to do. But if you're out there and your mind's all bogged down, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches and things, He couldn't speak to you. Listen, God, He's not going to holler at you. I found that out. It's a still, small voice. And His people, His remnant, seeking Him, He'll take care of them. But Peter said this, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Well, that doesn't mean your love covers up sin. That means Jesus' love. Not only covered up, did away with. Now notice what Peter said. How to survive the end time. He said, the end of all things are upon you. And he said, above all, if you're going to make it in these last days, above all, have a hot, fervent love for each other. Well, what in the world's that got to do with anything? I'd rather have a basement full of groceries, somebody might say. Heck for loving people. I'd rather have a hole full of money. Heck for loving people. Nowhere did the Bible say that. I'm sure if God of heaven is going to direct His people about the end times, He would have told us what we needed to know. And here was an apostle who's getting ready to leave the earth, who Jesus had instructed to edify and encourage the saints about the last hour, is what Peter's two gospels mainly talked about. The number one thing he instructed us in to make sure we did to survive was have a fervent love for one another. Now, that won't make sense to your carnal mind. It won't make sense to religion. It won't make sense to anybody. So how's that going to save you in the last day? Well, the Bible says love doesn't fail. You mean I just got to have a fervent love for you to survive? It's what God said. I don't understand. You never will understand. Have a fervent love, hot love for each other. Say, I'm hot about you, brother. Well, I better not say that. That may not go over too good. But have a fervent love. Wow. Notice, and be hospitable. Nope, didn't say put them in the hospital. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Instructions for the last day. Now, I could have read a week and wouldn't have had to read that. Be hospitable to each other without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Now, he's still talking about surviving the last day. For each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability or grace which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongeth glory and even dominion forever and ever. Beloved, don't think it strange when fiery trials and stuff's going to come upon you. They're coming. Now, of all the things, we'd think that Peter started out saying, hey, the end of all things are upon you, and jumped to another subject. That's not how the Bible's written. He's still talking about living in the last day. You mean, if we have a fervent love for each other and be hospitable and want to take care of each other, and want to supply to each other our gift that's inside of us and minister, that will cause us to survive the last days? Yes. Now, it's like this. If you read this, and the end of all things are upon us. Well, say, you believe that, and you say, well, there's only one thing to do. I've got to fill my basement up with food. Then I got to get me some guns and some a lot of bullets. And I got to bolt the windows up and leave one window I can shoot through. Well, that's how a lot of Christians think. I mean, if you got all this food and nobody else in the church got any food, honey, they're going to come to your house. Well, I'm not going to be hospitable, and I'm not going to minister to anybody, and I'm not going to be free with nobody, and I'm going to be grouchy about it. Well, Peter said, you have to be hospitable without grumbling. Well, I don't see that a lot in the church. I see a self-preservation that people are getting in. That's the very thing, according to the Bible, that caused you to fail in the last day. That'll cause you to go under. God has a way. If we'll just walk with Him, stay close to Him, love people, help people, not do it grumbling or grouchy, that He'll take care of you. He'll just supernaturally take care of you. I believe He can do that. But all the writers that talked to us about being prepared for the last day told us about our spiritual condition. You better keep yourself straight. Don't get caught up in the world in fear of things coming on the earth and all these things, self-preservation and all that, to where you cut everything. You'll go under quick. Stand up with it. Did you enjoy that? That's amazing. I got to reading that. It's just, Lord, of all the things I'd think about doing to survive the last day, that's not what I'd wrote. If I had to write a book on how to survive, I wouldn't have written that. I said, gig you a hole, you know, pour it with big, thick concrete. Be a prepper, you know. Get you a bunch of guns and a lot of ammo. Dare anybody to come to your house. Well, I said, you know. But you read God's book, it's different. I believe He can. He did with Elijah. He did with the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. Stayed nice and pretty down there all the time. And destruction was coming on the land. And they sitting down there just getting fat, waiting on God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for these instructions. Thank You, Peter, for writing us a letter, two letters. Told us what to look for in the last day. Paul told us what to watch for. Jesus told us what to watch for. He said, now these things are coming. It's up to you what you do about it. It's up to you how you make it. Well, I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose the Word of God, staying close to God, staying in church, worshiping God, believing God. I bless the people tonight, Lord. Thank You for the Word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. You're dismissed.